The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, it is time now to place another book on the Hard Shoulder bookshelf, and I'm delighted to say the journalist and historian Kevin Myers is with me this week to do just that. Kevin, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well.
So what book are we putting up on the bookshelf?
Well, what I was originally proposing to your researcher was Rudyard Kipling's Collected Verses, because that's the book I turned to most of all. He wasn't enormously pleased at the prospect of talking about Rudyard Kipling, because Rudyard Kipling is enormously unpopular in Ireland. He was an imperialist poet, and he did revere the British Empire. And like all isms, like communism and fascism and Nazism, imperialism is based on a series of unproven assumptions, and they obviously they're unjustified over time. But it's what lots of people believed at the time, and many of his verses are tributes to the empire. But he wasn't a racist. He believed in the empire, which of course no one believes in anymore. But he believed in the idea of imperialism. And contrary to what most people believe about him, he believed in equality within the empire. He believed that, and he was boycotted in the club in Calcutta when he wrote an editorial applauding the appointment of an Indian judge who would sit in judgment on white men. He said this is the essence of the empire. Of course, it wasn't. But nonetheless, he believed in the virtues of the empire, and these virtues are non-existent to modern standards. But nonetheless, the poetry he wrote is exemplary. I like it because it rhymes, it's got rhythm, it's got lines that most people know, such as the female of the species is more deadly than the male. He wrote that during the time of the suffragist movement, and it is absurd because the actual premise is wrong. When the Himalayan peasant meets the he-bear in his pride, he will often shout to scare the monster, who will then turn aside. But a she-bear thus accosted rends the peasant tooth and nail, for the female of the species is more deadly than the male. Man's timid heart is beating with the things he must not say, for the woman that God gave him isn't his to give away. And when hunter meets with husband, each confirms the other's tale. The female of the species is more deadly than the male. Now, this is ludicrously untrue. It is ridiculously untrue, because we know just on the cusp of he wrote that poem on the cusp of the First World War, leading to the Second World War. And in all of those wars, women are non-participants. All the evil things, the invention of poison gas in the First World War, the invention of concentration camps, of death camps in the Second World War, these were male activities. So you have to forgive him for his many errors, but he is nonetheless a compelling poet. And most people have heard East is East and West is West and never the twain shall meet. And they think that's it, a statement of racist superiority. That's because they don't know the rest of the words. East is East and West is West and never the twain shall meet, till earth and sky stand presently at God's great judgment seat. And there is neither east nor west, nor border, nor breed, nor birth, when two strong men stand face to face, though they come from the ends of the earth. So what he is saying there is that all men, and he does mean men, are equal. Now, that's not what people believe about the imperial values.
Yeah.
And most people in Ireland wouldn't have read his poetry. And his poetry does stand up to modern standards if you discard the fact that he was an imperialist. But we have to do that for everyone who wrote in history. If you deal with the early 17th century English poets, many of them believe, like Milton, who believed in the parliamentary revolution and the exclusion of Catholics from power. He also believed and was responsible for executing people who adulterated the coinage. Everyone once upon a time believed in capital punishment and so on. Values change all the time.
Yeah.
So, but No, you see, I was asked then to prepare an alternative.
Well, it's
for this.
Yeah, it's more that, you know, the reason we ask people for an alternative, it's not that we have a problem with Rudyard Kipling going up in it. You can, it's up to you. Well, if you wanted to go up there. Sometimes people find it hard to pick one book.
I don't find it hard to pick one book at all. The book, men over 50, you haven't reached that point in life, but men over 50 don't read fiction. It's just one of those things. No one understands why this is the case. So they just don't. It doesn't happen. Men don't buy books over for fiction books over 50. So I don't read any fiction apart from Vladimir Nabokov.
Okay.
He wrote two great novels in English, the English language, Lolita, which is in many ways a vile book. It's about a pederast's infatuation with a young girl called Lolita, and Pale Fire. Now, Nabokov is a fascinating man because he was Russian and he thought in Russian. And many of the sentences that he wrote in English when he was writing in English as a first language are then reconstructed in English so that they have a strange feel about them.
Mm.
And they're all the more refreshing for that because they have a Russian vigor. He was a strange man, an unpleasant man, and many artists are unpleasant people. He collected butterflies. He collected rare butterflies, and that's a fairly disgusting occupation because he would trap them and then gas them and then mount them.
Yeah.
And he collected several previously unknown examples of butterflies. And you can see the collection of the butterfly motif in Lolita, about the infatuation of a man called Humbert Humbert with a girl called Lolita. And it's a disgusting theme. It's an evil theme. And what sustains the book and morally justifies it is the real sense that the protagonist, Humbert Humbert, is aware that what he is doing and has done is evil. But it was banned in Ireland, of course.
Yeah.
But it was a hit around the world because people did understand there was a moral priority, a moral schemata to what Nabokov was saying. The next book that I mentioned to you, Pale Fire, is one of the great mystery novels of the 20th century. You could put it in the same category as Ulysses or Finnegan's Wake. It's more engaging than either of those. I've never tried to read Finnegan's Wake. I embittered my life during COVID by reading Ulysses. And I have a particular reason to read Ulysses because my great uncle has mentioned it. He was Lieutenant Jack Myers in charge of the Dublin Fire Brigade. And he was, in fact, at the time of when he wrote, Joyce wrote Ulysses, he was in Dublin, charge of the Dublin Fire Brigade in 1916. He put out lots of the fires then and also in 1921 and 22. But despite my love of the man I never met, Uncle Jack, great Uncle Jack Myers, I despised. It's hard work. It was rowing upstream in a tar.
You're meant to listen to it, apparently, is the key. Few people have said that to me. Okay. Richard Boyd Barrett, you know, of People Before Profit fame. He's a great Joycean scholar. Maybe you might not know that. He says, listen to Ulysses.
Okay, well, then we didn't have, when he wrote the novel,
He didn't have audiobooks. He didn't have Kindle.
Yeah, and obviously if you've got a woman's voice doing Molly Bloom's soliloquy, which is a highly sexual one, by the way, it might be interesting. But with my own mind and my own words, reading many of the impenetrable parts of Ulysses, that was a work of labour. Unlike Pale Fire.
Okay.
Pale Fire, it belongs to that school of literature, which I largely detest, called metafiction, where it is not as it appears to be. Unlike Lolita, which is as transparently evil as it appears to be, Pale Fire is written at so many levels, involves so many puns, as does Lolita. Multilingual puns, as does Joyce. You have to speak three or four languages to understand Joyce. You have to understand three or four fluently. You have to understand three or four languages to understand Pale Fire. And it's such an impenetrable book that I always forget everything that I've read about it. I've read of it. So when I return to it, it's completely new. But that doesn't mean it diminishes the pleasure that I get from it, because it's an enormously rewarding book, not least of all for the construction of the plot and the beautiful, elegant, lambent English that Vladimir Nabokov understands. Many people regard, and I'm not personally qualified to say this, many people regard it as the greatest novel of the 20th century. It's up there with Ulysses, and as I told you, I don't like Ulysses, but yeah, most people do like Ulysses, so you know, obviously the problem is mine. But I have read Lolita two or three times, and I've always felt soiled by it. And I don't think that the distance Nabokov put between himself and the appetites of this man, Humbert Humbert, are authentic. I believe he was inclined towards young girls, vulnerable young girls. So I always feel contaminated by the book. Pale Fire is altogether more elevating, and it's much more complex, and it's much more baffling. So okay, I return to it every time and say, well, here we go. I didn't understand it last time. I'm probably not going to understand it this time, but it's a wonderful journey.
So what book are you going to put up on the bookshelf? Pale Fire by Vladimir Nabokov or the collected works of Rudyard Kipling?
I'm afraid the latter, Rudyard Kipling. And now no one's going to talk to me.
Oh, that's all right. It's up there. Look, Pride of Place up on the bookshelf. Rudyard Kipling, the complete works. It's a bit of a cheat putting the complete works, but we'll allow it. We'll allow it. Are you reading anything at the moment? You're not reading fiction. You've told me that already. But are you reading anything?
Well, actually, I just to prepare myself for this, I reminded myself of Kipling's verse, and I got Pale Fire. I actually meant to bring it in with me, but it's on the kitchen table. So I was browsing through it, and I said, I didn't remember a single word with the first page, and I've read the book 10 times. So it's just that it's that thing you can't quite scratch, and then the itch in the middle of the back.
The middle of the back, yeah.
That's what it is for me.
All right, okay. Reading that again. Worthy mention, then double mention for Pale Fire. Kevin, listen, a real pleasure. Thanks a million for joining us.
Pleasure being on. Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.